Welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Scheffler. It is the Christmas season. We are celebrating the season of Advent, a time of waiting, wonder, and worship. And at Christ Fellowship, we're encouraging people to observe the Sundays of Advent, gathered together with family or friends, through FaceTime or in person. Today on the podcast, we discuss how to do that in the craziness and busyness of the holidays. We also discuss our characters for the week, the angels. I'm joined by Bruce and a special guest. I think you'll enjoy our conversation. All right. Welcome back, everybody, to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Scheffler, and I am here with Bruce.
Happy to be back.
And we have a special guest. Hello. Victoria is
Yay,
here.
Yay, Victoria. Welcome.
Yeah,
glad you're
thanks.
Here.
Glad to be here.
Victoria wrote the Engage God Daily this week. So Amanda was on last week because she wrote a week, and Victoria wrote this week's and did an amazing job.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Love it so much. So we thought we'd have Victoria on because she's got a little insight into our topic. But I thought we'd start first to check in. How is Advent going? So this is, we've started officially first sermon of the series on Sunday. First Sunday of Advent was last Sunday. And so we really encouraged people to gather together, to get with friends, neighbors, family, use FaceTime if you had to, but try to make some time to actually observe Advent with your loved ones. So Victoria, you have little littles, right? What mm-hmm. age are your kids?
2 and 4.
Oh, so little littles.
Little littles, yeah.
So how did you try to get them together? And if you did, how did it go?
Yeah, yeah. We did the Advent experience guide.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, since you wrote part of it, that's good.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. So we did that, and we have a little, we have an activity set with little like pig dolls, you know, for the characters. So we got one. I think I used like Joseph and like another one. I have one for Easter too. So like Moses, I think I used.
He got
for
to be one. He got to be the
prophet. Yeah,
got,
which you know that which was works. Pretty fitting. Yeah. So we have those two, and you know we kind of used those. It went okay. I mean, they're 2 and 4.
Yeah, they're not going to absorb
so
a whole lot.
I, you know, at this point, am just like building those healthy habits. You know, like. Eventually they're going to be like, yeah, this is something we do every year and we look forward to it. But I don't know how much of it is sticking right now.
Yeah.
But it's fun. I mean, you know, the 4-year-old got to light the candle.
Ooh, that's
had like
big
a,
stuff.
Like a stick to light the candle.
Right.
So, you know, that's fun. It was good for sure. Yeah.
So like Bruce said last week, fire is always a good element to incorporate.
It is. Yeah.
No, that's good. And I think I wanted you to share a little bit because I want people to be encouraged. Like, if they've got little kids, look, we're not saying they're going to be, like, theologically knowledgeable at 2.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you just want to talk a little bit about Jesus, I mean, and make sure they understand that what we're celebrating is Jesus. And if that's all they get, that's great.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's a good foundation.
I think my 4-year-old's getting it. I mean, he's really into the gifts, too, but...
Of course.
But he knows that Christmas is all about Jesus, you know? And that's kind of the big thing we want them to... take away from
yeah by four you can start getting some of that
yeah
so tell me, what do you love about the season, Christmas season? What is challenging for you at the age of your kids?
Yeah,
I'm asking everybody this because we have a nice spread mm-hmm. of people coming on.
I love like creating the traditions and building the traditions. We had a few definitely growing up, but we didn't have a ton. And I really enjoy them. I try to do like an Advent kind of experience thing every year where we're walking through the Christmas story, where we're talking about the characters. I feel like I try kind of like a new tradition every year and see what sticks. So we'll see what we keep doing next year. But I love building the traditions and the memories with the kids, and there's a lot of fun in it, really. My 4-year-old's really into like Christmas and decorating and all of that, so... challenging. I really try to like all of the stuff that people kind of put on you that you should do, like you should send out Christmas cards or like you should go to this and that, or you know, go take a picture with Santa and all that kind of stuff. I just, you know, if it's not something that our family enjoys doing, then I just don't do it. And so
there's been a lot of screaming child in Santa's lap.
Yeah, that's very wise.
Yeah. So I just kind of like try to cut out that stuff and make sure we're focusing on the things. But I do put a lot of effort into making sure it's a really special time. And I like getting my kids, you know, fun gifts and stuff like that, too. So sometimes it can just be a lot of like preparation and, you know, especially when family comes together, that can be a little much. But I try to keep it to where it's focused on what it's all about.
Yeah, that's great. And yeah. I think that's a good piece of advice for everyone. I know that when I had my first, I really did kind of get caught up in the expectations of other people and like what other families did, and was like, well, of course we have to do that too. And then I found out that I hated Christmas because I was so stressed. Like, we were so scheduled, and, you know, trying to wrangle three kids and get them dressed and get them anywhere to do anything is a challenge in and of itself. And I just was like, why are we doing this? This has nothing, this is not doing anything for our family. It's not beneficial. So we need to let this go. So I'm glad you've learned that before you got to the stressed out stage like I did.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've experienced the stress too. That's why I'm like, let's just not do that.
Well, there's a lot of expectations, I think, particularly on moms, to create sort of this holiday magic.
For sure.
And it's like, you know, how much of that is cultural and just self-imposed expectations, whether how much of it is really pleasing the Lord, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So that's good.
Yeah, thanks.
So, Bruce, how about you? How was Advent for you your first week?
We have a new Advent tradition that you've never used, I bet. It's not in the guide.
Okay.
Well, on the simple side, Tamara and I have enjoyed already just driving around our own little neighborhood looking at lights.
Yeah.
And then listening to instrumental Christmas music.
Nice.
This morning we're hearing O Come, Emmanuel. But here's the new one.
Okay.
We have, well, you know, it's at home, it's just me and Tamara.
Right.
And Calvin.
Oh, is Calvin involved now?
There is an Advent box for dogs of Advent treats.
Oh.
And he got, on the first day of Advent, he got his first Advent treat.
Was he excited?
So Calvin's loving Advent.
Oh, yeah, he's all about it.
I have seen those.
Yes,
yeah, those
Calvin is a great dog.
He is.
He really is.
He's a godly dog. Excited about Advent.
Bruce might change his position on whether dogs have souls. Literally based on
at
Calvin.
Least one does.
At least Calvin does. That's awesome. Yeah, well, I think we want to encourage people, no matter what their configuration in life is, whether you're in the empty nest or you're single or you're never been married, or you've got a big family, little family, whatever, just find some ways to be with other people and have some meaningful conversations about what the season's all about. Because that really does help reinforce it in our own minds. Adults need that reminder, too, that it's not just about all the stuff and the decorating and the parties. And it's really to worship Jesus. Mm-hmm. So that's great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about this week. So last week was the prophets. And this week we're talking about angels. So, Bruce, I thought we'd start with sort of a basic question, but one I think is important to clarify. What is an angel?
That's a great question. An angel is a non-human, unseen being created by God.
Okay.
So an angel is not human and not God,
okay,
but a creation of God.
Yeah, so it's like a spiritual being.
Mm-hmm.
And angel, as far as I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong, is more of a job description. It's like an angel is a messenger.
That's right.
So there's lots of different types of spiritual beings. There's angels, demons, seraphim. I mean, there's other things
cherubim
described in the Bible.
Yeah, there are other names for unseen beings in the unseen realm. Angels apparently can take form, even human form, but they don't have physical bodies like we do.
Yeah, and they appear all over Scripture.
And they often give messages from God, like our Christmas stories. There's three angelic encounters in Christmas, and all of them are bringing a message from God.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's really four, right?
Oh.
Right, Victoria?
Well, the angel comes to Joseph in a dream.
Oh, okay.
So I guess three, you know, if you want to say like kind of physical, more physical encounters. Yeah. But yeah, and then Joseph, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's interesting. Okay, so let's talk about the different encounters. So why do you think the gospel writers, particularly Luke and Matthew, they found it so important to include these angel visitations in their stories about Jesus's birth?
I mean, we don't know for sure. We're guessing.
Right.
But I think God wanted to show this is a divine moment. This is supernatural. This is something from him. And it's interesting to me who all comes. We're talking about Christmas and the various people involved. Sometimes we can think, well, Christmas is mom, dad, and three like school-aged children is the image. And yet Zachariah and Elizabeth are an older childless couple.
Yeah.
And Mary is probably a teenager, but an engaged woman, probably living at home with her family. And then Joseph is probably a young man, perhaps living on his own or with a roommate. And so these are not even the stories we had. The people who are in Christmas aren't even the kind of American image.
Right. That's a good point. That's a really good point. So we have three sort of big things that announce, proclaim something is happening. And so, Victoria, which one? So the angel appears to Zechariah to tell about the coming of John the Baptist. Uh-huh. And then we have the visitation to Mary and then the visitation to Joseph. Which one
and
made
the shepherds
big,
too.
Well, and then the shepherds. Yeah. We'll get to them in a second.
But, oh, okay.
But which one was the made the biggest impression of you?
That's a good question.
As you wrote the Engaged God Daily. I mean, you already knew these stories.
Yeah.
But like as you really kind of dug in to write this for us.
Yeah. Yeah, they were all fun. Like going into each story through, you know, kind of looking at it through the lens of the angels bringing their messages, and it really like takes you through the whole arc of the Christmas story, which is really fun. I think I really loved or was really inspired by Mary, you know, mm-hmm. because all of them, when the angel comes to them, except for, you know, Joseph's in a dream, but whenever the angel comes to Zechariah, whenever the angel comes to Mary, and whenever the angel comes to the shepherds, they're all scared. Like, it was a really terrifying thing for them to be in the presence of an angel. And it kind of seemed like Mary thought something bad was going to happen to her, like it was like a bad kind of thing, even though the angel was saying, you know, you're highly favored. Like, he was saying good things. Greetings, you're highly favored. But she seemed scared. But she just really responds with a lot of faith, mm-hmm. which is really cool to see. Just, okay, God, let's do this. Like, let's see how you're going to make it happen. So, yeah, that was really beautiful to see. Yeah.
I've been this year thinking about the fear, because he says to each one of them, do not be afraid. The same line three times to Zechariah, Mary, and Joseph. And I thought, what are they scared of? And sometimes I've thought about the human circumstances. It's scary to be childless or scary to be Mary or Joseph in their human circumstances, but they're not even in those circumstances yet. So I think it's the angel that's mm-hmm. it's this scary moment. And I thought about how we're often scared of God.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. That not in a good way, like we're, you know, you are to fear God, that a reverential awe of God. Fear of God's the beginning of wisdom, but more the I'm scared God might not be good, and he might be asking me to do something I don't want to do or something that's going to be bad for me. And there's these assurances that that each of the characters can trust God.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, how for us too? It's at least I find for me and most people I talk to are scared God's going to ask them to do something that they don't want to do and it's not good.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to go through what God might ask me to do or what his calling might be on my life.
I remember years, and this was probably, I don't know, maybe even 20 years ago, I had a really good friend, and we were at a women's retreat together, and, you know, they were having this moment where the leader was walking us through this, like, there was a cross at the front of the room, and, like, what do you want to surrender to the cross, and are you willing to surrender your life to God fully, you know, kind of an invitation, and my friend just sort of burst into tears, and I was like, what's going on, and she was like, I'm just really afraid of what God will ask me to do. She's like, what if he asked me to go to Africa?
Right.
Like, I don't know, that was like her first thought. And then guess what? Like 5 years later, she goes on a mission trip to Africa.
There you
and
go.
And so it's like, you know, we have that initial panic of what God might, but we forget he's going to equip us. He's going to be with us.
And it's going to be good.
And it's going to be good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I love sure. that. Yeah. Yeah. I also think just seeing a supernatural being like that would be terrifying.
Yeah.
Like no matter what, yeah. you know, you even in the Old Testament, I love the story of is it Joshua where the angel appears and he just falls on his face and the angel's like, don't worship me. I'm just a, you know.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like his immediate response is just like face down.
Yeah. And I think there's so many more mundane things too that God calls us to, because those are so dramatic. And obviously we're not giving birth to Jesus again and all of that. But I thought about what you were saying, Victoria, about, you know, God's called you to a simpler family tradition and to how am I going to resist the expectations? And I think that a lot of us have some sense of conviction or leading from God on things like that. And yet it's scary to think, wait, I'm not going to take my child to go take a picture with Santa. I'm going to be a bad mom. You know, is this going to be terrible? And yet I think there's it's always good to follow through on what God's prompting us to do. It can be as simple as I'm supposed to really reach out to a family member that's hard for me. And this year, I feel like I'm supposed to really make an effort that when we're all sitting down, I'm going to sit next to them at Christmas dinner and engage them in conversation. And the feeling is that's going to be bad and uncomfortable because this is an awkward person for me. And yet if God's calling you to do that, it can be a beautiful moment with you, with that person that's awkward for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
So, Victoria, you wrote a special thing. It's on our website as part of sort of our Advent resources on talking to small children about the virgin birth.
Yes.
Because sometimes we as adults get awkward and weird about it when our kids go, what is a virgin?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what advice did you give parents as you, because you really were very thoughtful in thinking through how to do this well. And what advice would you give parents that they're going, I don't hope my kid doesn't ask what a virgin is.
Yeah. I know it's scary. It's, I have a 2 and a 4-year-old. It's scary and sometimes really weird, especially when you didn't grow up, like a lot of us didn't grow up with our parents talking to us really intentionally about sex and our bodies and reproduction. That wasn't a very open conversation in a lot of people's homes. So learning to do that for the next generation, it's, you know, it's scary. It's different territory. But I think that the Christmas story really gives us a good opportunity to talk about it in a really organic way. I think usually kids ask questions anyways, you know, what does it mean that Mary's a virgin? Or did the Holy Spirit put me in, you know, your tummy, mommy? Mm-hmm. Like those kind of questions I think are really common that kids ask. But even if they're not asking those questions, there's ways that you can even prompt them. Like, have you ever wondered about what it means that Mary's a virgin? So that you can be proactive in talking about these things. And so in the guide, I give kind of a younger version, like, for younger kids, kind of building this, like, so like talking about virgin, by God's design, he made a man and a woman to come together in a special way. So building that theology of sex, not saying sex yet necessarily for younger kids, but, talking about how God's design is that a married man and a married woman, would come together in a special way. Like that's a special thing that just married people do. You're kind of building that theology while still answering the question, you know, and talking about that Mary was called a virgin because they hadn't come together in that special way yet. So things like that that you can do that are teaching your kids multiple things. It's teaching them about sex, which, you know, in their bodies. It's teaching them about the Christmas story and about the reality of it. Just building that theology of like sex is a good thing, this is the way God designed sex, and those kinds of things.
Yeah, that's great. I think that's super helpful. So yeah, so that is on our available on our Advent resources. I think it's cfhome.org/christmas is where all the
stuff is. Mm-hmm. That's right.
So yeah, check that out. I think that would be really helpful for people. You had a question, Victoria.
I did have a question. Yeah. I was wondering if y'all have ever had what you felt like was an encounter with an angel, since we're talking about angels. I was just curious.
I've had encounters where I felt like not an audible voice, but I felt the real strong presence of God with a message, but not in the sense that I think I experienced an angel necessarily.
Might probably be similar, since I've sensed the presence of God, and I didn't know if this is the Holy Spirit or an angel, but a divine presence, a goodness in the room or with me in that moment, or a message from God. And whether that was sent through the Spirit or through an angel, I couldn't discern.
Right, yeah.
But I feel like this is God.
Yeah.
God's here in this moment. Yeah. Sometimes I think in really, as on the theme we were just talking about, special moments like birth or a wedding or death, that it seems like there's a a more tangible sense of God's presence in some holy moments like that.
Yeah, yeah. Like some Holy Spirit, angelic presence, maybe both.
Right,
kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Could be both.
Yeah. What about you, Victoria, since you asked?
Yeah, as I was going through this study, I was thinking about like the physical, like you were talking about the physical manifestation of what these angels look like and why they were terrifying to them. Just like wrestling with that a little bit. And then thinking about this, and I was just curious if y'all had. I have one distinct memory when I was a kid of being in my bedroom and it was like at night, like I was supposed to be going to sleep. And I remember feeling a really, really like bright presence, like physically like bright, like it was super bright in my whole room. And feeling really scared. Like there was like some kind of holy presence in my room. This was before I would say I was even really walking with the Lord. And I don't know if that was an angel because, or if I'm just like, if I'm just like thinking about it and it's just like, a memory I've had, and maybe it was something else that happened, but yeah, I don't know what that was. But for me, I look back on it and I think about how the Lord was pursuing me even before I knew him, you know, even before I was walking with him. That's what that memory means for me. But I know some people have like encounters where, supernatural things have happened and they felt like they've seen or like experienced angelic presence. So I was just curious.
Yeah. Well, if you didn't start Advent last week, if you were like, I didn't get the guide, wasn't at church, I was out of town, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's not too late.
Oh, no. Start right in right now.
Totally.
And, for me, we've really struggled this year because my kids are older and they all have, they work on Sundays. And so we're having to be really creative. And like, we could not get everyone together this past Sunday. And so I'm like, well, I talk to my kids constantly. So I figure I can always have meaningful conversations that way. So do the best you can, but just in making the effort, I think that shows that it's a priority for you and your family. So, all right. Well, Bruce, will you pray for us?
Sure. God, thank you so much for your call in our lives. Thank you that you are real. Angels are real. And Lord, we pray that we would be like Mary, and that whatever your call is on our lives, we would say, I am your servant. May it be fulfilled. May your word be fulfilled in my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, everybody. We will see you back next week.